The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 11. Cops at the front door, mob at the back. Bobson went back to sucking on his victim. Screaming guy ran through the crowd to the traffic cop. His screams turned into yells, and he pointed to where we were. A competing sound, a rising mumble of many voices, came from another direction. A mob of people rounded the corner. Many carried torches. The mumble resolved into a chant. Death to vampires! Death to vampires! Bobson's bunch of dim bulbs. I turned back toward Tim and Tom's condo, hoping I could slip through and get inside. Nope. The traffic cop, his gun drawn, stomped our way, a grim look on his face. Reporters and cameramen trailed him, the reporters yapping at their microphones. Lester gripped Pat Bobson's shoulders and pulled him off the dead guy. Enough. We have to go. I was down with that. I took off running along the hedge toward the rear of the apartment building. People stared out of windows at us. A roar went up from the Christians. I glanced back. They charged, holding torches and stakes high. From the other direction, the traffic cop burst into a run, with the press fanned out behind him. I reached the end of the hedge and sprinted toward Tom and Tim's house. It was quiet in their backyard. Behind me, feet thudded on the grass. I could see Igor and Meg in the kitchen window, so I ran for the back door. There was no pet door. I'd have knocked, but furry paws don't do much more than produce a puh, puh sound, so I reared up and scratched. I glanced back. No mob or cop yet, but Lester and the Reverend ran toward me. I scratched harder. The door opened, and Meg stood there, Igor peering out from behind her. She said, "Patch!" I zoomed past her, hoping she would slam the door shut. No such luck. I heard her say, "Lester?" I skidded to a stop on the tile floor and turned. Lester reached the back door, pulling Bobson by one arm, and shoved past Meg and into the kitchen. He shouted, "Shut the door!" She slammed it and turned, her gaze searching the room. She found me and cried, "Patch!" She squatted and held out her arms. I'll admit that I was glad to see her. Maybe we were blood brothers or something by now. But I resisted an urge to rush into her arms. Cats don't rush. Or gush. However, I did trot. And it was nice when she picked me up and held me to her. Someone pounded on the back door. Igor said, "I'll get it." Lester pulled Bobson out of the kitchen and into the dining room. They disappeared from sight. Igor opened the door, and the traffic cop stood there. The backyard was crowded with a milling jumble of cameramen, reporters, and crazed villagers come to kill us. Our man Igor, however, remained calm. "Yes, officer?" The cop started forward, but Igor held up a hand. The cop stopped and said, "Let me in." "And your reason?" "To search for a murder suspect." Igor glanced back at us. "I don't see any murderers here." He turned back to the officer. "Do you?" The cop gazed at Meg and me. I gave him my best sweet kitty look. He said, "No, but that's why I want to search. He might have come this way." Igor tiptoed and peered at the mob behind the cop. "And this is your posse?" The officer looked back, then said to Igor, "No, that's a mob. But everything is under control." Meanwhile, the Bobzians chanted, "Death to vampires! Death to vampires!" One of them set fire to a chaise lounge. Somehow, being confronted by scores of rabid human beings with killing on what little was left of their minds made me uneasy. Or maybe terrified was a better word. Igor, however, was the essence of calm. "May I see your warrant?" The cop looked down at Igor as if he couldn't believe what he'd heard. "Warrant? I'm in pursuit of a killer." "Did you see your suspect come here?" No, there was this big hedge. I assure you that there are no murderers here, and I believe you need a warrant. I'm not letting you in." He pointed at the yard full of idiots. If you want to be helpful, how about arresting those trespassers? The cop glanced behind him, then back to Igor, his mouth gaping. Igor said, "Thank you so kindly," and closed the door. It came to Meg and me and gave me a scratch behind the ears.
"Good to see you, kitty cat."
To Meg, he said, "I think I'd better let Tom and Tim know what's going on." Meg, carrying me, followed Igor into the dining room. Bobson huddled behind Lester, his eyes demented, and his gaze darting here and there, his face and shirt front red with blood. Meg stopped. "So, Lester, suddenly you've got religion?" He smiled, fangs peeking out. "A taste of it, at any rate. Do you know the good Reverend Bobson?" She peered at the Rev.
"Only by sight, and he is quite a sight, isn't he?"
Bobson held his hands before his face.
"Away, abomination! Away from me!"
Lester laughed.
"Abomination!"
He gripped Bobson's shoulders and turned him toward a mirror above a sideboard.
"Who's the abomination?"
As Bobson stared at his bloody image, Igor reappeared, followed by Tim and Tom. One twin wore a pale blue sweater, the other pale pink. Tim, the one with the mole, said,
"Hello, Lester. What's this about abominations?"
Igor said,
"Don't you recognize the Reverend Pat Bobson?"
Tim said, "Of course." He went to offer Bobson a hand. "I didn't recognize you with all the blood on your face. A new ritual in your church?"
Bobson shied back.
"You're the abomination, all of you."
Lester said,
"Oh, I don't know, Pat. Who was recently slurping the blood from a lifeless corpse?"
The Reverend's eyes widened. The guy looked like he was about to explode.
"But I couldn't help it."
Igor giggled.
"Oh, sure you could. Why, didn't you just say yesterday that evil is always a choice?"
I wouldn't have thought it possible, but the Reverend's eyes got even wider.
"But I didn't decide to do this. I can't help it."
"Oh, come on, Reverend Bobson. You know how all the perverted people, like gays and vampires and atheists, choose Satan."
But.
Bobson's spot-on impression of a motorboat was interrupted by the wail of sirens from the front of the house. Tom said to Bobson, "I think that's for you." Bobson sank to his knees. He raised his hands toward the ceiling.
"Oh, Lord, save me from these godless heathens."
Igor said, "I resent that. I'm a good Episcopalian." Tim said, "And we're Catholics." Bobson stared at them, then went back to heaven gazing.
"Oh, Lord, send me your divine aid."
The sirens wound down, and then there was pounding on the front door. The Reverend looked that way, then again beseeched the heavens.
"Or at least a good lawyer."
Tom and Tim exchanged grins. Tom said,
"Temporary insanity."
Tim said, "Irresistible urge." They gave each other high fives. Tom said, "This could be big, defending vampires." He turned to Meg. "You've opened up an entire new field of law, Meg. We'll be forever grateful." Considering that they couldn't die completely, that was a heck of a promise. Reverend Bobson said,
"You're lawyers?"
After a laugh, Tim said, "Abominable lawyers, by your definition. But who better to understand your... difficulty?" An amplified voice came from the front of the house.
"You in there! Open up! We have a warrant!"
Bobson dashed to the back door and flung it open. But the traffic cop and the mob still waited there. I saw newspeople streaming toward the front of the house, probably drawn by the honey of sirens. The Reverend slammed the door in the cop's face. Quite a rude fellow, I thought, calling people abominations and slamming doors in faces. He turned to Tom and Tim.
"All right, represent me."
Tim grinned. "Of course. But first, let's settle on terms." He gestured toward the doorway. "Shall we go to our office?" Tom said, "Do you have your checkbook with you?" Tim added, "We take credit cards." Lester watched them go, then rubbed his belly. When he went into the kitchen, Meg followed, and because I was in her arms, so did I. The big vampire pushed a black curtain aside and peered out the window.
"Still a mob out there, and I'm starting to feel the pain."
Meg opened the cabinet and took out a roll of Death Savers. She tossed it to Lester and said,
Try these.
Oh, no. None of your manufactured blood food products for me.
Then he winced and grabbed his stomach.
Well, maybe this once.
He opened the package and popped a couple into his mouth. Within a few seconds, his face relaxed and he smiled. If it weren't for the fangs, he would have had a nice smile.
Meg laughed. So you can be corrupted, eh, Lester?
Lester grimaced and then tossed the roll of Death Savers on the counter.
Not by you.
Igor came to the door.
I thought I should warn you that the twins are going to let the cops in.
He gazed at Lester.
From what I've heard, you're in the habit of avoiding them.
With a shrug, Lester said,
When I go out for dinner, sure, but they have nothing on me.
I'm sure the media will be all over this, too,
Meg said. The Reverend Pat Bobson, vampire. I've got to see this. I had already seen it, and it wasn't pretty. But I was content to go along for the ride. Literally. Igor led the way. I glanced back to see if Lester was coming, and he was. I noticed that the Death Savers weren't on the counter anymore. So Lester was a hypocrite. Or maybe just an opportunist. Like a cat. We went to the front door. Tom and Tim stood in the living room, flanking Bobson. Someone hammered on the door again.
Open up in the name of the law!
Igor said,
Have some patience in the name of my Aunt Martha.
He opened the door, and a flood of light from the TV crew silhouetted two detectives who stood at the door. All of us vampires quickly got out of its path. Shielding his eyes with a hand, Igor called out,
No lights!
When the lights didn't shut off, he shouted,
No press if the lights aren't turned off.
Blink! The lights went off. Igor said to the biggest detective, a guy with shoulders nearly as broad as the doorway,
Yes, officer?
The cop handed Igor a folded piece of paper.
My name is Captain Cook, and I have a warrant for the arrest of Patrick Bobson, and I have reason to believe he's in this house.
Tom called out from the living room.
He's here, Captain. Please come in.
The captain said to the other cop,
You wait here.
He glanced out at the gang of reporters and cameramen. His shoulders lifted and dropped with a big sigh.
I guess we gotta let them in.
When Captain Cook entered and went to the living room, reporters and TV crews swarmed around the remaining cop like ants going around a pebble on the way to a picnic. The look on their faces resembled the one I'd seen on Meg when the bloodlust hunger was on her. It was unsettling to think that I had something in common with the media. Tom said to the captain,
Officer, I'm Tom Conway, and my brother and I represent the Reverend Pat Bobson. He is willingly surrendering himself to you.
He turned to Bobson and said,
Now, Reverend, please don't say—
Bobson raised his arms high and shouted,
I am innocent. I am pure. These creatures contaminated me. I couldn't help myself. I had no choice. I am still God's child.
Igor, standing next to Meg and me, whispered,
Funny, it's a good excuse for him, and not for you.
As far as I knew, God didn't take much part in everyday goings-on, at least not so as you notice. If there was a God, who knew? For sure, I mean. Yeah, you can believe, but that's not really the same, is it? Ginger Grant shoved her way to the front of the crowd, arm outstretched, holding a microphone. That woman surely did get around. She said,
Reverend Bobson, did you do it? Did you suck a man's blood?
Tim shook his head. Miss Grant, you know better than that. She pressed forward.
How does it feel to be an abomination, Reverend Bobson?
I suspect it would take a baseball bat between the eyes to stop her. He stood straight.
I'm not an abomination.
Grant whipped a mirror out of her purse and held it in front of him.
Then what is this?
He stared, then touched the dry blood on his chin with a forefinger. He slumped.
Evil.
He lifted his gaze and stared out at the crowd.
But how? What did I do to deserve this?
Igor said to Meg,
Same as all of us. Got born.
Amen to that, brother.
Captain Cook took out a pair of handcuffs.
Mr. Bobson, you're under arrest for the murder of...
He turned to the cop in the doorway.
What's the guy's name?
Shrug.
All I know is the guy who went to pee behind the hedge.
Tom said, Do we have to do the handcuffs, Captain?
Are you kidding?
This guy ripped the throat out of the guy who had to pee. The guy who had to pee. What a way to be remembered.
Bobson offered his hands. The cop put the cuffs on and said, "You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. If you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be provided you at government expense." The captain led the way outside, the news people retreating before him. Tom and Tim stuck by Bobson's side. Tim checked his watch and said, "We've got a few hours before dawn. We'll drive down and help you at the police station, Mr. Bobson." To the cop, he said, "He needs a cell with no windows." Meg followed, carrying me. When we got outside, the lawn was full. The mob from the backyard, still carrying torches, had joined the news people. The Christians chanted, "Death to vampires! Death to vampires!" When Bobson appeared, the chant changed to, "Save Bobson! Save Bobson!" Cop 2 said, "This could be trouble." Bobson stepped to the front of the porch and raised his cuffed hands. The chant fell off and became a murmur.
"Brethren, now was the time for peace. Go home."
A voice came. "We'll save you, Reverend." He lifted his gaze to the sky.
"I have already been saved."
Another voice. "But you said vampires are damned to eternal hell." Bobson looked like someone had slapped him. The voice wasn't done. "And now you're one of them."
"But I didn't do anything. This is biological. I can't help it. I'm a victim. Can't you see that?"
"So are you evil too or not? Are you damned or not?" The Reverend seemed to shrink. He cast his gaze to the ground. He opened his mouth and closed it, his struggle twisting his face. At last he said,
I don't know."
Meg stepped forward and stood next to the Reverend. "This blind prejudice, my friends, is what Patch and I will fight as your representatives on the city council. Equal rights and an equal place in society for all Americans." Ginger Grant stepped closer. "Miss Murrow, haven't you killed innocent people to feed your bloodlust? Aren't you as big a criminal as Reverend Bobson?" Her last question provoked boos from the Rev's flock. Meg held up a hand until they stopped, and then returned to scratching my neck. "No, I've never done that. We have more civilized ways to take care of our needs. We are no danger to you. We just want to live, coexist, in peace." Captain Cook said, "Let's go." He took one of Bobson's arms, and Cop 2 took the other, and they guided him through the crowd to a patrol car. Reporters headed for cars and vans to follow the perfume of disgraced celebrity. Law-abiding vampires running for the city council, I guessed, weren't quite as interesting as a murderous vampire at the altar of a church. I could hardly blame them. The traffic cop approached the Reverend's mob, waving his arms to shoo them away. A bearded guy, a big man built like a pro football tackle, held a stake in one hand and a torch in the other. He said, "But we haven't destroyed the vampires." The cop said, "There'll be no destroying tonight. Get yourselves home." Bearded guy stared at Meg and me on the porch. The flickering light from his torch made his eyes seem to glitter with evil. He stretched out the meaty hand that held a wooden stake and boomed, "You are damned. You will not endure." He raised his stake, turned away, and headed back the way he had come. "Follow me. We will yet cleanse the night of evil." The flock trailed behind him, and soon a double chant rose up. "Death to vampires! Save Bobson! Death to vampires!" The patrol car pulled away, and Tim said to Igor and Meg, "Can you handle things here? We really should go along and make sure he's protected from the sun." Igor said, "I've got to go home and get some sleep. If you want to appear in court tomorrow, I'm going to have to file priest to make sure it's in night court." Meg said, "You go ahead. Seiko and Patch and I will be fine." She looked up at the night sky. It was clear and filled with stars. She gave me a scratch behind the ears and said to me, "I'm getting a little stir-crazy, being cooped up all day and night. What do you say to a walk?" As long as it didn't involve a leash, I thought that was a good idea. I took enough of a breath to say, "Murr." "Good." She set me down. "Let me see if Seiko wants to go." Igor said, "Then I'm out of here." He started for his car, and Tom and Tim headed for the garage. Tim said, "We'll be back in an hour or so." I followed Meg inside, thinking I'd see if I could get a Death Saber snack. Yappy hadn't been a real solid meal. Meg must have read my mind, because she said, "How about one for the road?" I trotted ahead of her toward the kitchen. We came across Lester and Seiko at the dining room table, each spooning from bowls of blood. Lester looked a little guilty when Meg laughed and said, "So, the wild vampire likes the comforts of home." Seiko frowned and then patted Lester's hand. Her tiny hand on his big paw was like a baby's on an adult's. "Hey, you be nice." Lester gave Seiko a sappy-looking smile. "Vampire love?" Meg said, "Sorry. This is the guy who was going to crush Patch and then kidnapped him. Lester hasn't exactly been on our side." Lester scowled and stood. "Well, I'm still not screw you." But then he turned to Seiko and said, "Not you." "Seiko, Patch and I are going for a walk. Want to come?" Lester held out a humongous hand to Seiko. "If you want to go out into the night, come with me. Let me show you the true vampire world." "Oh, no." There he went again. Seiko stood. "All right, but no murdering." Lester smiled dimmed, but he said, bravely I thought, "Of course not." 5 minutes later, a death saber warmed my tummy, and I ambled along the sidewalk beside Meg. It was a quiet night, the kind cats like. Speaking of liking, I was liking my new associate. It seemed like I might have a life after all. When we approached the big hedge that separated the twins' condo from the apartment house, I heard a shh. I should have known it was trouble, but I was still in the pleasure buzz from the blood. When we passed the hedge, we found the Reverend's flock there. Bearded guy stepped in front of us, his torch held high. Others swarmed around us until we were surrounded. Bearded guy said, "And the Lord delivereth the sinners unto us, so that we may cleanse the earth." This guy and Lester ought to have a conversation and beat each other senseless with stupefying language. Meg said, "We mean you no harm, and I'm no more a sinner than you are." He raised his torch high and boomed, "Evil ones, prepare to meet your maker." Hands grabbed me, and I was held tight against a woman's chest. Two Christians grabbed Meg's arms. Bearded guy said, "To the park," and strode away. Uh-oh.
Please don't murder me.
The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Don't murder me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.